He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
September 2015, SNU, He Said, She Said. Where have all the flowers gone?
Yeah, no kidding. It's like boom, boom, bingo, bango here in the desert. I tell you, if 1 minute it's 40 degrees, the next it's 20.
Well, yesterday we were talking about how when you watch water go down a sink, it twirls around and just disappears, and that's kind of what happens to summer. When it's over, it just kind of like spins around. Everyone's having fun outdoors, hiking, playing ping pong and soccer and all that stuff, and all of a sudden, it's gone.
I know.
Here we are, back to reality.
Yeah.
It's like a bubble, isn't it? Summer's like a bubble.
And back to a new wardrobe for the fall. You gotta love it. Actually, I do like no transition at all. I like them the same all year round. But however, we have four seasons here, so therefore, we all know you need a different wardrobe, right, ladies? Anyway, that's that.
All right. So what's cooking, my dear?
What's cooking is jicama. Say what? Jicama. Well, my gal pal serves jicama every time I visit her. It's a staple in her house. I loved it so much, I now buy it, and I eat it raw and with other vegetables. Jicama, you may ask, what is that? It's pronounced jicama, but you spell it J-I-C-A-M-A. Jicama.
Well, hey, listen, you referred to your friend as a gal pal?
Yeah.
So if I have a guy friend, is he my pal pal?
He's a guy pal.
He's a guy pal.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's a gal pal.
Yeah, you haven't heard that before?
Not really, no. When you used it the other day, I...
Where have you been?
My pal. I fell out from under a rock.
She's a gal and she's...
I'm an alien.
Okay. Anyway, jicama is part of the legume family, and it grows on vines. Jicama is a round, bulbous root vegetable and originates in the Mexican Peninsula. So it's very similar in texture to a turnip. The taste is closer to an apple, and they can call it a Mexican yambi. It's really crisp, it's white, it's solid flesh. However, very interesting to note that the peels of the skin of the jicama, they're light brown, they're thick and tough, but they are also an organic toxin called rotenone. And so are the leaves and the vines of the jicama. Now, rotenone is an odorless, colorless, crystalline, ketonic chemical compound used in a broad spectrum as insecticide and pesticide. It's naturally occurring in this plant. So it's very important that you remove it. Do not eat the...
I know what your plan is. You're planning to poison me. You're going to put this thing in our diet, and you're going to slowly poison me.
You know, I never thought about it, but the light bulb's gone off now. So it's really important to really peel the skins and wash it up and everything. So you want to look for firm, round tubers in the store. Now, they're not really easy to find, and you can find them where you find the rutabaga, the beets, and the turnips. So like I said, you look for firm, round tubers, and you want to store them in a dark, cool place for about a month. And if you cut them, then you want to refrigerate them, but don't leave them too long in the refrigerator, otherwise that starch goes into sugar, because they are high carbohydrates as well.
When you picked it out the other day, did you know what it was before you picked it out?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, because I'd never heard of it before, and it's kind of weird looking.
You've had them before, and you tried it, and you said, oh, I said, well, what do you think it tastes like? It's kind of like tofu. When you make tofu, doesn't have a flavor, but when you mix it with other things, it takes on that flavor. So jicama sort of does the same thing.
Well, you gave me a little piece, and I thought, that reminds me of turnip.
With
and
an
it
apple.
Was in that same category
in the
grocery bin, right? Turnips.
Yeah, it's kind of sweet. But the other day I was looking for them, and they didn't look very good. They looked like they'd been there for a long time, so I didn't pick them up, right? Because you don't want them to be kind of wrinkly and all of that as well. But anyway, look for them in the store, and they're really versatile. They're great for stir fries and salads and coleslaws and soups. You can use them like fruits and vegetables, like oranges and apples and carrots and onions. So they go with everything. But I like to just eat them raw in a salad or put them on a veggie plate. And I don't need a dip or anything like that. So, you know, if you want to put them in a dip, but try them out. It's kind of a neat new thing. And maybe you have already tried these. There's a Mexican recipe. What they do is they have chilled jicama slices, and you sprinkle them with chili powder, a little bit of sea salt, and lime juice, and that's pretty common there. Now, there's a lot of health benefits to the jicama. Now, remember that it is a high carbohydrate, so you want to be careful how many of you eat of them, just like potatoes. They're low in calories, and they have nutrients such as inulin, which is a prebiotic, and it plays a good role in the intestines. Jicama has a low glycemic index, so it's really good for diabetics. It contains vitamin C and folates and riboflavin, pantothenic acid, thiamine, minerals, magnesium, copper, iron. So, you know, lots of goodies going on there. So let's just say for about 100 grams of the jicama, you can get about 38 calories. Now listen to this, 150 milligrams of potassium to 4 milligrams of sodium. So that's pretty good. So the ratio is very good for the potassium-sodium.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I just can't take this thing seriously with the jicama, right? I'm just thinking, you know, how in animated cartoons the vegetables have names, you know, and then they meet each other, and here's carrot and onion meeting this new dude, and they say, what's your name? And he says, jicama.
Well, it's like Jesus, it's Jesus, right?
Right.
That
right.
kind of thing. So you have this J-I-C-A-M-A. But it's a neat new thing, and I'm just over the moon about it, if you can find a good one. So that's what I would say. I would recommend that. Try adding it, like I said, you can cut them up in little cubes or like long strips and just put them in your veggie plate, put them in the salad, or put them in a stir fry or in a soup like a turnip.
Yeah, and dig that out. Sodium-potassium ratio. Huh?
Yeah.
4 grams of sodium per 100 grams and 150. So, you know, there's that beautiful natural ratio, which is even far beyond the 7-to-1. We've talked about that before, nature's perfect ratio of sodium-potassium 7-to-1, but there are thousands and thousands of plant and animal foods that go way beyond that, right?
Yeah, for sure. But just remember, don't eat the skins. Cut them off. Wash it, then cut one end off, and then cut the other end off, and then just slice it off, and then wash it again. And then you've got a really great little meal. So there you have it. Jicama.
Okay, so get your jicama on, people.
That's right.
Yeah, right. And be careful. Don't kill yourself when you eat this fancy dessert or whatever it is you want to call it. What is it? More of a staple food, huh? Salad?
A tuber.
A tuber. It's not a tuba. Okay, good stuff. So who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Dr. Gordon Pedersen. Dr. Pedersen is one of the world's most well-educated doctors. He has many PhD degrees and master's degrees and is a product formulator and an author. Now, Dr. Pedersen has an amazing story, and this is a really, really a must-listen to interview.
We always say that.
I know.
But it is
all wonderful.
It is true. It's always true. Every time we have a guest, it's always a must-listen.
Yeah, they are a must-listen to. He really thought you were a great interviewer, and he really liked the questions that you asked. You got very deep and kind of philosophical.
Well, I paid him off in advance, you see.
Yeah,
how it works.
So he says that the body will heal itself if you give it the proper tools. And he says not man-made tools, such as surgery or poisons. He says nutritional tools. Along with a healing attitude and the right attitude, miracles can happen. So one of the interesting things was, he said he was taking a cardiovascular degree, and he was on the gurney, and the gurney dropped, and it broke his back. I mean, what a frickin' story. Anyways, he was bedridden, and he was in a rehabilitation for 3 years. He brought himself back to health, and then he went on to receive a bronze medal in speed skating at 43 years old, competing against 21-year-olds. Because he thought the skating would really help him with his rehabilitation, and he got faster and faster. And this facility that he was training in had the Olympic speed skaters in it. So, you know, it's just amazing what you can do if you put your mind to it.
Well, also, let's not forget he was told that he would never be able to compete as an athlete again.
Yes.
And that crock of shit, which is always what these people say, right? It's almost like a given, because I've heard this a bazillion times. People get injured and damaged, they go to a hospital, and the doctor says, whoever they might be, male, female, whatever, robot, that's it, you're finished, you're never going to be able to function or do this again. And of course, these guys and humans have incredible will, and they're able to overcome this you know, it's a very derogatory, manipulative, negative statement to say that, right?
Well, I wonder if some of those doctors that say that don't have faith in the human race.
Well, they must see a lot of invalids, yeah, and I mean that mentally.
Yeah, yes.
People that have no will, no capacity, they give up, they're in there, you know, they're surrounded by them, and so every once in a while you get a freak like this coming in.
Yeah.
Who was a freak before he came in, and then he still remains who he is inside, right? That's why I asked him, what was going on inside of your head when you were, like, laying there for 3 years?
That led to some of the revelations while he was lying in bed, so that's a really great story. Anyway, he's totally into coenzyme Q10. Of course, it increases oxygen in the cells. Muscles get filled with oxygen, which will produce more production. He even brushes his teeth with coenzyme Q10, and he saw the difference between his gray gums turning pink, and he said, wow, if that happens in 10 seconds to my gums on application, what can happen to my cells and my muscles, right? So he saw firsthand, and that's when he was hooked on it, right? Also, you know, his thing is structural silver, not a new thing. This is nothing new at all. This was what they used to use years ago to store milk. They eat with silver. They cook with silver. Everything was on silver, so you would get the silver from your dishes and your plates and what you stored things in, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, CoQ10 is a marvelous substance, and it's difficult to obtain it. You know, cooking and sterilization and processing basically removes it completely. It's inside of us. Our bodies can make it, provided all the ingredients. I know that pantothenic acid plays a big role in its production. So, and then that's depleted through stress, right?
Mm-hmm.
So cardiac health comes to mind, as you mentioned. Heart health with
tissue health, all of that stuff we're talking about, yeah, the coenzyme Q10, for sure. But then I was talking about the structural silver, right?
Yes.
Yeah, which kills pathogens that cause disease. In some countries, it's considered a drug. And he says doctors add that silver in newborn eyes. So the safety and efficacy of it is strong. So, and he gives so many examples of how you can use the structural silver. And is that after listening to his interview, why you use the silver knife and fork now?
No, I was using it before that, and we were downstairs looking at all these knives and forks, and we got into this comparative competition, and Mitchell, I asked him, what's your favorite fork? And he chose his fork, you know, because I'm into shapes and the way the fork looks and the knife and the spoon. The way it's got to look a certain way and feel a certain way, otherwise it feels foreign to me.
Yeah.
And so he chose one. I said, that is the one that I would never choose. It's the bottom of the barrel. And, of course, it's bigger because he's a tall guy, 6'6", and it weighs more in his hand. But I chose almost one of the smallest ones, but it was solid silver. And then, of course, we know that it's a conductor. And I think that eating with silver or gold, you know, there's a proverb about golden apples on plates of silver, or maybe it was silver apples on plates of gold. It's been revered. You know, people don't understand the historical application, which is why I asked Dr. Peterson about the history of these metals, because we've kind of lost touch because we're plasticized, right? Everything's plastic and petroleum now.
I'm going to get out the good silver now and use it my knife, fork, and spoon.
It transfers electrons into your body when you eat it.
I'll get the real good stuff out now. But fantastic interview. It really was great. It's a must listen to. And the stories that he has and how the structural silver works in every part of your body for whatever ails you. It's just amazing. So thank you, Dr. Peterson.
Yeah, and we're looking for that new product, and he's going to actually be at the CHFA Expo East, which I'm going to do some consulting work with Purica this year.
Yes.
And he'll be there at the show, so I'm looking forward to meeting him in person. It's always cool when I meet these guys on air and have a discussion. And then to see them in person, shake their hand, that's very cool as well.
Yes, many thanks, Dr. Peterson, for your fantastic interview.
Okay, so what is your hot topic today?
The hot topic for today is why women should weight train. If you're a personal trainer or you've trained yourself, you already know this, but it's very interesting. This gal, I teach ballroom dancing and Latin and disco and all that stuff, and you know, this gal, she's almost like me. She walks all the time. She walks 10 to 15 miles a week, and she has a great diet, you know, a decent diet, pretty good, better than most. And she takes her supplements, and she does yoga, and, you know, she takes classes, the Zumba and all that. and ballroom dances, but she doesn't weight train. And she says, I don't know why you keep telling me to weight train, Tracy. But I'll tell you, the thing that I've noticed about her and a lot of the women that I work with in dancing, the ones who don't weight train, but they take all these classes that don't involve weights, is their skin gets a little bit flabby. They can still be strong and muscular, but their skin doesn't look as good as it could. And a lot of them have back problems because we have to stand up really straight when you're ballroom dancing. You need a strong back for that. And I notice that they have back weakness, and sometimes their abdominal, their trunk, center, torso, core, whatever you want to call it, isn't as strong as it could be. I tell her this, and all the women. And sometimes they don't like me telling them that, and I'm going, well, you know, you asked, right? So
I need to watch more Jane Fonda videos, man. I mean, she was onto that decades before it was that popular. And, of course, Miss Olympia, I remember meeting her. Arnold introduced her. He was in Vancouver at a competition, and then he was saying, watch out, everyone. This is a new wave now. Women are getting into weight training. And at that time, there was very few women that were actually weight training in the gym. And now they've basically taken over the entire industry, you know,
exactly.
Personal trainers. And I saw a stat the other day that there are more women working out than men, you know, in the adult sector, because women often go to the gym, those that are into it, when their husbands are off working.
Yes.
They go to the gym. They take their kids to a gym with a daycare.
I was in Cranbrook for a week. I visited my sister, and I went to this little pumping iron gym. And the ages of these women, there was a whole, I went early in the morning, like 8 o'clock, and there was these 60, 70, 80-year-old women just pumping iron, I mean, very lightly. And I thought, how awesome is that? The little group, they get together. Then we did this little ab group class, which was really cool. And they're all doing it, and they're chit-chatting away. And it's their little social event, but they're actually lifting weights. It was so cool to see. So that's what happens. Atrophy. We know that word, sarcopenia of the muscle, which is all muscle loss.
Not just muscle, it's lean mass, it's lean tissue. So cartilage, connective tissue, you've got bone mass, you've got vital organs, they actually shrink.
Yeah.
You know, and then this fatty liver thing that people have, they don't even know it, like they're overeating, eating a lot of gunky trans fat, you know, sugar stuff, and then the liver itself shrinks. Not much, but it's measurable. And then it gets bigger, but it's fat. It's a fat composition, right?
Right, exactly. And also, it increases bone density, and it really helps with the tolerance to stress on all levels. I could be having a really rotten day. Doesn't happen very often, and I'm pissed off at the world. I go work out, and I feel better. And I've told you, we've walked to the gym together. I'm all rag, rag, rag. And then I come back, and I said, I feel much better now. You've heard me say this, right? Now that I've had a workout.
For sure. So why is it that women have such an issue with the weight training? You're a woman, and you don't seem to have it. I met you in the gym, and there are many, many other women that we know in the gym, but not compared to the numbers of women that aren't weight training.
Well, they said they don't feel like it. They think they're doing enough, as it is. Also, they could be intimidated, which is very interesting, being intimidated in the gym. Yesterday, I was reading the sign that said what you have to wear in the gym. There's a dress code now. And I never really looked at it, but yesterday I was in my break, and it said that you have to wear shorts that are 2 inches below the gluteal muscle. And I thought, okay. And then I saw a girl who was not doing wearing shorts like that. Mind you, she looked really good in her short shorts, for sure. Wish I could wear those things. But I think that new people or maybe older people or people don't look like her would get intimidated by that. So I think that's, or some guys may get distracted by that, one or the other. But, you know, there is a dress code now, so you want to make sure that you're covered up. They want you covered up in the gym, which is interesting. So I do think that there is an intimidating factor there. Some people just don't understand it.
I think that's the main one, because they could train at home or they can go to these ladies' clubs now where intimidation is. You cannot blame. What are you going to tell me, that you're intimidated by the overweight women in the ladies' club?
Yeah.
That's why you don't go there?
And
like,
one of my gals who's doing a dance, so she's losing weight. Yes, weight. She's losing weight for her production that she's doing. She wants to fit into her dress. And she says, oh, I'm losing it all in my boobs and na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And I said, well, why don't you weight train and build them back up again? They might be smaller, but at least you have some muscle around them and get some cleavage happening, right? And they look at me like I'm an idiot. which I know I'm not.
Well, again, this is science and chemistry, physics,
yes,
biology. You stand on a scale and you have a weight, and that represents the force of gravity on your mass. And let's say 20 years goes by and your weight is the same. So you haven't been weight training. And these forces, which very few people understand, I mean, they just don't make it clear to us in high school, because everyone graduating from high school should be clear about these forces because of what they do to us while we're alive. So they don't understand the effects of these forces, which are natural. They're part of reality, you know, oxidation, radiation, entropy, and gravity working on us all the time.
Well, my best girlfriend, her mom is dying right now, and she's 84 years old, and she's not doing very good. And my girlfriend has been a little overweight. She's been a smoker, not eating really well. Mind you, she's a brainiac, German brainiac. But nonetheless, now she's getting into, she's lost some body fat, and she's on this special health food diet, which is our diet, and she's feeling better. And I said, you know what? You should have done this years ago, because you need to be strong to help your mother, because she's at that hospital every single day. She's got a son. She's got other family members. She's really the only one who's helping here. And I said, you got to take care of yourself. So finally, after all these years, she's starting to see the light that you got to look after yourself, right? Remember we just watched a movie?
Yeah.
He said, look after yourself. Take care of yourself. It's not just about eating right. It's not just about exercising. It's about the synergy of everything working together. But, you know, it makes you feel better. It makes you stronger. You need to move a piece of furniture. You can move that piece of furniture within reason if you got some muscle on your body. You feel good in your clothes. Your hormones are feeling better, more balanced. There's a multitude of benefits by weight training. Now, you don't have to lift massive, massive amounts of weight, but you know, you want to lift some weight and lift it correctly. So, you know, get on it, ladies, or if you have any clients or friends and family members that just don't understand it, start telling them about the benefits of weight training for women.
Yeah, so that woman is on a scale 20 years later. She's gained, let's say, some weight, and she thinks it's fat. Of course, she's been looking at herself in the mirror, and her pants don't fit. But she doesn't understand that she's losing and has been losing that lean functional mass from the entire body. So let's say that she's got an extra 20 pounds of fat. She goes on a bizarre, stupid diet. So she'll start to lose the fat, which also accelerates more loss of muscle. And then you get this effect like you were talking about with the boobs, because inside the boob, the pectoral muscle is muscle that has disappeared, or eroded, or decreased, right?
Yeah.
That's the part they don't get. And that's where you've got to get into the weight training, you know, to mimic the counter effect of what they call negative entropy. You activate it. You activate the resources inside the body through the resistance training to push out against those forces coming down.
Well, I couldn't have said it any better than you said it. Touché. So that's my hot topic. Get on it.
Yeah, great hot topic, dear. And what is your final word?
My final word is by Anatole France. Man is so made that he can only find relaxation from one kind of labor by taking up another.